I would have to confess to you tonight that I am tremendously surprised at this great audience on Saturday night. This is a sign of revival. Morning tomorrow, we give us another tomorrow, but every night next week. I would like to ask you to remember us better than in prayer from day to day, because this meeting will be advanced as it's advanced upon our knees. I have seen so many revivals that have been put on by advertising and publicity and organization. We've gone down to Egypt for help and depended upon the name and money and methods and machinery. I'd like to see one that really comes from God, wouldn't you? And then ask today why we didn't have any evidence that we needed. There's nothing to advertise in a meeting like people. Just word of mouth from person to person. That's what advertising means. Now it's usually customary for a preacher. When he goes to preach, it's usually customary for him to announce his text and then discuss it. We generally read our text and then expound it. Sometimes the preacher says he takes his text and he's going to preach from it, and he does. And the time he's preached for 15 minutes, the text and sermons are far apart. You would take it, they would, if you would take the news ones, the other wouldn't catch it. So I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to, without any desire, purpose or desire to be different or singular, on, I'm going to do the other thing. I'm going to, first of all, preach my sermon, then I'm going to read my text. And the text is going to be the answer to the question that I want you to spend about 30 minutes with me tonight in thinking about. You know, this is a wonderful old book that we get our text from. I said we'll have the text at the close of the sermon. Every preacher has to have a text. I don't know why he has to have it, because. But somehow he has to have one. So I'll preach first, and then I'll get down to the end and see what will fit it, and I'll put one on to it. That's why I'll stay with my text, don't you see? Now, I'm doing this tonight because the text is going to be the answer to the question that I want you to spend about 30 minutes with me in thinking about. I said, this is a wonderful new book that we get our text from. It goes back to the beginning of all things and reaches forward to the end of all things. In the first chapter of the book of Genesis, I read of my origin, the origin of all creation. I find that God has devoted one chapter of this book to telling me about my sin, to telling me about my origin. Then I find the hundreds of chapters and verses that follow that are filled with warnings and threatenings and exhortations, telling me about where I'm going and about how to get rid of the deal with my sin. I believe there is but one thing condemned in this book tonight, and that one thing is sin. And I believe there is but one thing in the universe of God tonight that can permanently harm or hurt or damage me, and that one thing is sin. Sin. Disappointments may sadden. Vexations and cares of life may worry. And the thousands of imbalance may threaten. But there is only one thing in the universe of God that can permanently hurt or harm me, and that one thing is sin. And no man ever fooled with sin that sin didn't get the better of. No man ever fooled with sin that sin didn't get the better of it. You cannot sin and master it. You sin and sin masters you. You cannot sin and make sin your servant. You sin and you become sin's slave. So the question I wanted to ask you this tonight, the question I wanted to ask you tonight is this. Why will you continue to sin? Why will you, a sane, sensible, intelligent man or woman, how to signature tunes and take a pay that thing which you know will eventually permanently damn and harm your soul. Why do you do it? Question I'm wanting to ask you tonight is this. Why will you continue to sin? I want you to notice that it's a personal matter. I can get no one to die for me. I can get no one to be buried in my place. I can get no one to pass over the eternities in my place. I can get no one to be damned in my place or saved in my place. Salvation and damnation are preeminently personal matters. If I live my life out in this world, I walk down the steps of the tomb and out on the other side and up into the gates of glory, I'll go to heaven as personally my friend as no one else in this world was ever saved but me. If on the other hand I reject all the mercy and turn down the kind coach and good calendar and the gentle rulings of the Spirit, I walk someday down the damp, dark steps to the tomb and wrapped in a winding sheet of godlessness, my friends, I'll go down up to the judgment bar of God and be turned away and walk down to the self-village pitch of the graveyard of the damned. I'll walk up and down the graveyard of the damned while the charred walls of eternity surround me and my voice is heard to echo from the far-off God-Tripurian choir of that midnight meal as personally as if no one ever went to hell but me. Salvation, my friends and family, should have been eminently personal matter. Men sin in groups and wandering schools and sin with the multitude. But when it comes to salvation and damnation, that's personal. I want to narrow the thing down a little bit into tonight. I said, why will you, not why will the church? There might be a thousand reasons why the church is imperfect, and some people say, well, Lincoln, I'm not a Christian tonight because the church has so many hypocrites in it. Because there's so many weaknesses in the church. Well, the church does have weaknesses, my friend. The church tonight is not all that it ought to be. Thank God one day it shall be when it shall be presented to Him without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I'm not asking you tonight, why will the church? I'm not asking you tonight, why will the cities? If this city is wicked tonight, it's because that it has wicked people in it. I'm not going to ask you why you're the preachers. Preachers are not all that they ought to be. Post office are not all that we could be. I'm sure tonight the post office are not all that we hope by God's grace someday to be. I'm going to ask you why you're the preachers. I'm not going to ask you why you're your wife or your husband or your child or your neighbor. I'm not going to ask you why you're the man in front of you, the one behind you, the one next to you tonight. But the question that I'm asking you tonight is, why will you, a sane, sensible, intelligent man or woman, come into this room tonight and sit and hear this message and we're going to get up and go out tonight to do the same soul damning things today that you did today? That's the thing I'm asking you. I'm not going to ask you why you have sinned for 20, 30, or 40 years. I'm not going to ask you why you have cursed and damned and broken and sworn and rejected Christ for 25 or 30 or 40 years. I'm not going to ask you why you came to this building last night and listened to the message and then got up and walked out and went down the street beneath the stars and then got up this morning and did the same soul damning thing that you did to that, the same soul damning things today that you did yesterday. I'm not going to ask you why you've done that. You might give me 100 reasons why. But the question I'm asking you tonight is this. Why will you, a sane, sensible, intelligent man or woman, come into this building tonight and sit here and listen to this message, my friend, and then get up and walk out of this building tonight and go down the street beneath the stars and go out to do tomorrow the same soul damning things that you did today? That's the question I'm asking you. Why will a man continue to sin? Why will a man continue to do wrong? First of all, beloved, I want you to notice what sin is. Some people think that sin is something that floats around in the atmosphere. They think it's a germ. They think it's something that floats around in the atmosphere and you touch it. Like if you typhoid fever, measles, or whooping cough.
Some people make the sin go in line. Listen, my friend, sin's not a germ. Sin's not a in line. Sin, my friend, is a deed done. It's an act. It's a little word spoken. It's a deed committed. It's an act done. Sin is going where you ought not to go, and you know you ought not to go. Sin is being what you ought not to be, and you know you ought not to be. Sin is saying what you ought not to say, and you know you ought not to say. Sin, my friend, sin the apostle is the transgression of the law. Sin, my friend, sin tonight is the transgression of the law. Sin is open rebellion tonight against God. That's what it is tonight. I'm asking you why you will continue to do that. Transgression of the law is living an earthly life of rebellion tonight against God. You say, Brother Lincoln, I guess the reason that I sin tonight is because I'm ignorant of what sin is. Are you a sinner tonight? Because you're ignorant of what sin is. Can you sit here and respect in this service tonight? We're in the land of Bible, we're in the ring of church bells. Can you sit here tonight and place your hands upon your heart and look God into the good bit of the face and say that I sit here an impenitent sinner tonight because I do not know what sin is? Have you been ordained in this world? Have you been ordained in this world? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and he will not hold him to the one that takes his name in vain. Have you been ordained in this world, my friend? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Have you been ordained in this world? Remember the Sabbath day of which you were holy. Have you been ordained in the principal least of these commandments is guilty of all? Have you been ordained that? Can you say that you sin tonight because you do not know what sin is? I'm going to prove to you tonight that you do know what sin is. That you do know what sin is. You know, I'm glad of one thing. I'm glad that sinners will not permit church members to do wrong without them pointing their finger at them and saying, I believe you're a hypocrite. Let me tell you something, Lord, honey, tonight. You can't fool sinners. They've got sense. And they know when you're genuine, and they know when you're a fake. They know when you're genuine, and they know when you're a humbug. The man that works by your side in the factory, the man that lives in your block, knows by the way you talk, and the way you walk, and the way you act. He knows whether you are genuine or he knows whether you are fake. And you can't fool him either. You can't fool him either. He knows. And don't you think for a moment that the unsaved world isn't watching you. They've got their eyes on you. You can't fool him. I heard a preacher out of my home say, what about his mother said, every time they had a revival, she'd got religion. And he said, one day, they had a revival and she got religion again. And she came home that night and his little brother said to him, he said, she had family prayer. And he said, Lord didn't do that the other time. But he said, we will watch her. He said, you know when she goes out to milk and that old cow kicks, she cusses. And they went out to him in the fence corner to watch her. And she started milking and she got the cup about half full. Bang, you old cow. Milk was screaming down her face. She said, "Streams of mercy, ever so soon." He said, "Bitch, you're dying this time." Don't you think for a moment that the world isn't watching you? They're watching you. And I'm going to say something else to you. I'm going to prove to you, big sinner tonight, that you know what sin is when you see it. You can take the lift, I can take you and let you stand on the street corner tonight, and I can take the least little naughty, nerdy, weakly, rabbling Christian you've got in this town, and let him go down the street tonight and do one little thing that's wrong, and you point your finger at him and say, look at that. Now that proves that you know what sin is when you see it. You say, but he's a professor, that's wrong for professors. But it's not wrong for me. That's wrong for members of the church, but that's not wrong for me. Let me say this. Anything that's wrong for a church member to do is wrong for you to do. God be in the judge. I've not done as much right to bring you this sermon tonight and go out here and get drunk tonight as you have, God being the judge. I've not just as much right to preach this sermon tonight and go out here and wallow in adultery tonight as you have, God being the judge. I've got just as much right to preach this sermon, go out here tonight and gain the world all night as you have, God being the judge. You see? But it looks worse for Christians when the God ever give you permission to cuss and damn and drink and swear because you didn't belong to church. Let me tell you something, my friend. God doesn't look upon sin with the least degree of allowance, and a soul, a sinner, it shall die in the church house. That's what God said in his book tonight. Listen, you say that it looks worse for Christians. Now I admit that. It does look worse for churchmen. I can take this white handkerchief tonight and throw it down out there in the street. The first thing the man hits it, you can tear it. I can take a dirty old piece of canvas and throw it out there in the street tonight. And every automobile in town can run over it and can't tell any difference. The difference is this. You can go out here and get drunk and wallow and vomit away and not even get arrested. If I go out and get drunk tonight, they'd have it in every newspaper in Kentucky in the morning. That's the difference with a gentleman and a vagabond, don't you see? Let me tell you something. That's the difference. I can come down here and have 2,000 people in a tabernacle and have 100 people saved. And you people never say a word about it. If you let me go out here tonight and do wrong and see if they don't put it on the front page in the morning. That's a cover that you know the law of the newspaper give you exactly what you want. You like that filth, and that's the reason they put it in there. Let me tell you something tonight. Sin. You say, look, it's worse for Christians, it does. And I'm glad the world makes a distinction, and I'm glad the world knows who's who. And I'm glad the world will let a gentleman pass by without falling. The man in this building tonight can look me in the face and say, I sit here tonight an impenitent sinner because I do not know what sin is. You know what's wrong and you know what's right. You see, I guess it's because, Brother Lincoln, I'm ignorant tonight just the consequence of sin. Are you? Are you ignorant of the consequence of sin tonight? Listen to what this book says. You know, it's considered vulgar anymore for a man to get up and preach on the subject of hell. That's rather vulgar anymore. You know, it isn't polite anymore to preach, to believe and to preach on hell. That isn't polite. I was preaching down in Florida in the First Baptist Church. I know I'm going to preach on hell the next night. The old pastor, that when we went home that night, he said, you know, Dr. Lincoln, if I should just even mention the word hell in my pulpit, I'd have to stop and explain what I meant. Well, I said, preacher, I'm going to get in hell for 2 weeks, so you might as well get ready for it. I tell you that now. You know, I thought then, if he had more hell preached in his pulpit, he'd have less of a live than his people. He said, they told me when I came here, just to be nice and visit the sick and bury the dead and make clean and marry the folks. Well, let me tell you something. I was starting something with that gang and I did do it too. Some people don't like Brother Lipkin's preaching because they don't like that hellfire preaching. Well, you better have a little out of here so much of it get after. Did you know that? You're going to have it later on. You know, that's the reason a lot of these highbrows is a fellow that's educated about his intelligence. That's the reason a lot of these highbrows don't like Brother Lipkin. Well, he wouldn't fit in their church. No, they wouldn't fit in mine. Well, they've seen me. I've gone into some of these big places and some of the big church pillars fly up on the front seats and all the privilege of them, they fly up there and they'll be there 2 or 3 nights and they'll take off. You know why? I started a meeting over in Orleans, Indiana last summer. And They have an old set up and they just started playing the piano. I begin to open up with my old fashioned Indian gun. I begin to preach hell hot and I shout and then certain. I got after a bunch of cocktails, sipping bridge, playing folks. I saw her looking around and all I could see, I had her number that I was ringing the little time to open my mouth. And in about a couple of nights, her pastor, I missed her. The pastor came and said, my dear Mrs. So-and-so said, she didn't think she could pay for the meeting. She just had so many things. She just so good. I said, you tell me, Mrs. So-and-so, that a woman just told me that she went with her not long ago. She had a big cocktail in a cab a little bit before, not so far away. I said, that's the reason I'm in the way I found to play the piano. That's the reason. I said, that's what I had. You know it. I said, that's the trouble. I got up and told him so. He said, the thing that I look, I'm sorry, I don't go down enough to fight Bulldogs and Game Chicken, but I won't tell you something. That there's nothing little walk there to war has when you win. That's not more genuine sin than a bulldog. And you get home and lie down and claw and growl to the guys. And a game rooster will fight, my friends, and you put steel spurs on another rooster. And the minute he feels those steel spurs, he'll beat it. I go in to preach last time, the bread coming up and fire from the front seat, and I begin to put the gospel steel to him. You'll see a bunch of old fennel in Shanghai and beat him to the worst, my friend, when I get in. I'm just now getting warmed up, but you want to get something about it, too. You might as well put on your asbestos jacket, my friend, and get ready. Because I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach, that's all. The average sermon on hell wouldn't mean anything. You never expect one of these no-hell modernistic preachers to have a revival. You ever see a revival? You might as well expect. You might expect that an asbestos dog with a black cat and hell. That's what you can't have, my friend. Let me tell you something. Let me show you something today. I know you can preach on hell, and I know many a little fellow that scratched hell out of his creed. He won't be in hell more than 5 minutes if he revives his creed. And he'll scratch out everything but hellfire, because the biggest creed this world ever saw is the man who gets in the biggest, broadest, plainest road to hell. Stands there spending all his provisional existence, trying to prove to people there's no other place as hell. Big lies down in forever. Listen to me, my friends, tonight. Oh, God says this, that the woman that hell enlarged itself, and it opened up its mouth without danger, and all the wicked shall be turned into hell, with all the nations that forget God, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the world dies not and the fire is not quenched. You see, I don't like the idea of hell, I don't either. I don't like my infamous noose in the electric chair. And I hate all the loathsome things that send people there. But my friends, my hate for the wrong things doesn't put them out of existence. They stand with reality just the same. Let me say this to you tonight. Jesus didn't have that soft, sentimental attitude about it, did he? He didn't have it, my friend. Paul didn't have it. He said, no, in fact, the terror of the Lord will persuade men. This is what he said again. For the Son of God shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that will not come and will obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, my friends, tonight, the consequence of a life of sin is eternal hell. You said, Revelation, do you think it's sacred fire? I do. But I said, well, where is hell? I think it's going to be. Personally, I think heaven will be held down. Jesus ascended up into heaven. But he ascended into hell. But I'm not interested in the location of the two places. Personally, I say, where hell is. Hell is at the end of a godless life. But there it is. Hell, heaven's at the end of a righteousness. You say, where is hell? I don't know. And by God's grace, I never intend to find that.
You get to tie down all the jails and the penitentiaries, and tell all the criminals and tell them there won't be any punishment for their sin, and you couldn't live in this country. You destroy God's laws, dynamite hell, destroy all the Bible, see how many people will be good because they want to be. Let me tell you the most. But a little more than 30 years ago, I got up on my knees one night and I felt hell move from beneath me. I got such a stand-down. And I jumped up and hit the ground and moved. And I've been running ever since. And then really by God's grace, I never expected to get up or slow down. They sent me to lock the gate behind me. That's what I'm telling you tonight. That's what I'm telling you. Listen, you say, Brother Lincoln, I do not sin because I sin not because I do not know the consequences of sin. I know what it will do. Even if the man be married, are you able to affect that you continue that drinking and extend the break up your home and you're going to lose your job and your children going off the streets under the scarification of the disreputable ancestor? Are you conscious of that? Are you conscious of that tonight? You did it tonight. You did it tonight. I saw it the other night in front of the Brooklyn Reanimator, and all over the bar, seeing a young lady, beautiful young lady, and a man, she was so drunk she couldn't speak. I went into a drugstore last night, that was packed with young people, and I believe 75% of those high school girls were smoking cigarettes. Brother, if you tell me what this country will be a few years from now, I don't know. You tell me this tonight.
This is all right if you want to smoke to you, but I doubt if you really want to keep the tobacco patch, doesn't it?
Let me show this to you tonight. You say,
thanks, I'm going to look good and go.
Let me show you. You say, Brother Lincoln, I guess it's because I'm just indifferent. Are you indifferent to me? You know what the truth is, but yet you say you're indifferent to that truth? How many people are indifferent tonight to the truth and indifferent to their condition? And maybe within 24 hours, your body will be in a coffin and your soul will be in eternity. And yet you say tonight you're indifferent? I don't find you feeling indifferent, but I knew I was lost without Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you another thing, you say, Brother Lincoln, it's not that I'm just reckless. I'm a failure. No, you're not reckless. When you go home tonight and you sit alone and turn out the light and you sit alone, you're not reckless. When you face your sin and judgment and eternity and God, you're not reckless. Not that. It's like the young man who stood drunk on the little railroad station one day and said, when that train lines the bend, I'm going to let up on the track and lock it off. This is blue. Blue line, train round at the bend, he staggered up on the track, train hit it. Green it for hell. If you don't want him tonight, you got people sleeping out here in your cemeteries tonight that would have been sitting here listening to this sermon tonight if they hadn't been greedy for hell. They jumped into hell 10, 15, 20, 25 years ahead of time. The hell people tonight, the fallen saints, the sick dogs, live their life out and go to hell like a gentleman. You want to know hell 10 or 15 or 20 years ahead of time? Let me ask you tonight. Not to look on God and eternity and relief, let them see into the position of the dead. Don't do it. You say that people going to hell tonight him to change you. The deliverance of the human called out of form of self-satisfaction. And even the sort of a compromised life. Not very bad and not very good, but I think I'll get to heaven all right. I'm going to be with you for the while. Maybe you can go to hell and you can change you. No, you don't change you, but you're like a little boy. Who one day rushed up to a station, just as the train pulled out and dropped his new grip. Still there, please. So God said to him, show him, you didn't run fast enough. And he said, yes, I ran fast enough, but I didn't start soon enough. One of these days, you will cry, but you will not hear. You will call, but you will not hear. You will seek him, but you will not be found. Now you will knock, and he's not going to open. You will have to cry. Too late, too late, too late. You compromised, you rejected, you set aside, you put off. Then the judgment of God falls quickly. I pay you tonight, my friend. Deal with the matter of your soul, Father. I've never met a man in the world that has said to me, they have definitely made up their mind that they were going to hell, have you? I've never met a man in the world that said to me, I have definitely made up my mind that I'm going to hell. Well, we always say we're going to make them send me out of the tree. That's foolish. I go to the bank, going to the train, I want to go to Cincinnati. And if I buy a ticket, the train comes in, conductor, how am I going to do it? I don't know, I just spend it. The train pulls out, he said, oh, then, I thought you were going to Cincinnati. I said, I am. He said, have you been buying a ticket? You didn't get on the train? I said, yeah, but I didn't go off with the conductor. I didn't cross the train. You've got to be more than a fool to go to church to go to the end. The family is not nearly the boss. There's not nearly a position before God. Listen to me tonight. To sign the spiritual evidence. To wait while the sleep has been around from the end. Christ should be tonight. When we sign the fellowship with the sin tonight. If that one that on the brink of eternity tonight in the attitude of the family. A secret condition doesn't fail. Man's wife wicked one night, complained of being ill. He left to the drugstore, that's the other, she came back easily away. Please see his wife complained of being uneasy and sleeping. Called the druggist. Brother answered and said, my God, man, I've given you a lot of money to sleep in your room. I gave him all the things, but now the doctor left him. Doctor said, there's only one hope, if you can keep her alive for 3 hours, she'll live. But if you have another good sleep, she'll never live. She'll never live. They walked up and down the floor, through water over, through the mystery to step in. Never mind, you can say, look, let the green sleep for just a minute. If you can get this sleep for just a minute, but if you sleep a little bit, you'll never live. For an hour, if they battle and find it, she can't sleep. This is my friend. I'm going to come down to America. I'm pleased to be living out in the middle of the night. And the devil is chopping through and through and through. And tonight you said, last night you said, let me sleep here tomorrow night. Let me sleep here tomorrow night, will you? Tonight you'll be here. You said, let me sleep here next to me. You said, well, let me say now, to the devil, when you give me the vision tonight, I'm going. And I stand up and you sing the verse. You said, I'm going to sleep here next to you. And then he said, I want the second verse, I'm going to have things for the second verse. He said, I wait for the third. He sang the third verse, and the Holy Spirit said, I want to sing the chorus, there's one more time, just for you. We sing it, he said, I'll speak to it, we sing it through that verse. And he said, well, my friend, this church is just this life for 10 minutes. And you've gone to sleep never to be aroused again, my friend. Never again, you God! Never again, you God! Stay in the house tonight, never again. Never again. Listen, I love you this day after day. The night that I broke my own promise.
and the Lord single God out of tonight. And the angels of heaven, get out the angels, get out the things that I'm recording, angels. And the light from man came in the land with the light tonight. And he went from hell to heaven from his kingdom of righteousness. God looked in the night to say, for the sake of my home, my family, and my life, and my life waits to see my friend from sin. I trust Jesus Christ is my sin. I have moved down to the cemetery, thank you for your better for you.